to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm here with Keith and Hemda. It's an easy, breezy, beautiful day. How are ya?
I'm good. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
How have you been celebrating?
More shows. Get the word out, you know.
I fear you've adopted this DJ Khaled alter ego, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about it.
Right?
Well, we the best, and here's another one, and the marathon continues.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Now, I don't know what he does. I assumed that behind the scenes he made the music. I don't even think that's true. I think he's the go-between between artists.
What? Really? I thought he makes the beats.
I don't think so, because when I've seen him talk up other producers who actually do make the beats. So I really don't know.
He just has a positive outlook, I think.
Right. He feels good. Nobody wants to ask what he does. It's like, he must do something, because he's feeling it for sure.
I just remember there was one Snapchat video where he was on a jet ski and he was sort of lost. And he kept sort of Snapchatting about being lost on a jet ski.
Hoping somebody would find him.
But like, it was all okay because of positive energy or whatever.
DJ Khaled!
Yeah, he feels it. Ugh. And it really gets you going.
Yeah, I feel great.
Yeah.
Hemda, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
I was going to say I'm excited about the camping trip this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it occurs to me that when you take a couple days off, you got to take a couple days on.
Yeah.
So it is rigorous this week.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it.
Time to make the donuts.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about your emotional episode with Keith, which I have not yet listened to?
Oh.
The My Name is Keith episode.
I thought it was really good. I think every time I tell that story, it's such a long story, but you know, people sit through it. I've had like people over my house and I'm like, do you want to hear the whole thing? And people seem enthusiastic to want to know it. And so I've run it. And so every time I do that, it makes me feel more sane, because
right.
I like people's response. Like, and I'm like, right. Okay. Because I was in this crazy making space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does feel, I think that's what therapy is. Part of it is just kind of saying it out loud. And so it felt better. At that night, I was exhausted. I left as soon as the mics turned off and I was just falling asleep on the way home.
Yeah.
Because I think it was just a lot of running. But it was so much fun because Aldo was here and Xerxes was here. And like, it turns out Keith is a good interviewer. So that was helpful.
I mean, he's had a lot of time to practice. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. And it feels good it's out there. And then this week we talked about how it was last year that Hennessy put out his side, and I guess this is my side. And to me, like, the timeline should be the same. So now it's interesting watching the fake mirror aspect of it.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of talk on the forums about, you know, what you should do and how you should think and how you should feel.
Try ayahuasca and let it all go is a suggestion. You know what's funny? Funny is not the word, but a year ago, Hennessy's show came out. This is my side of the story. I want everybody to know about the divorce. Meanwhile, the person that should be sitting down and waiting and not being in a hurry to talk should have been Hennessy.
I was surprised that he was like, let me put this out there. I was like, you don't look good in the story.
So Henda's the one who's hurt and decides she's the one that waits a year.
I had to process. And yeah, that's, you know, I have to remember things like that. Like, if I'm taking this long to process and I wasn't on that side of what happened, you're a shipbird, you know?
Like, shipbird.
Shipbird is like my favorite word right now. Keith, this word encompasses so much. You know what else I noticed on the forums? People are not calling Hennessy Hennessy. They've now started just using H.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Voldemort.
Yeah, it feels like we're not even going to spell it out. We're not going to anything. We don't want a Google search.
That's what I thought. I took it as if it was a search thing. Like they,
as if like Hennessy, he can't beat out the alcohol.
Say that again? Right.
You just can't.
The that's alcohol Hennessy.
About, right. Yeah, that's what sucks about having a name like Hennessy. It's not going to reach our forums.
Right.
So feel free, guys.
Yeah, don't worry about the SEO. Right. We're safe.
But it's actually
Hemda
nice.
Responds to somebody rating H and then parentheses rates Hennessy.
Just making sure, bro.
She writes, hey, who are you talking about?
Right.
What?
And then Spooky chimes in, very interesting, says he's done with hearing stories about H. Time to hear stories about Xerxes. So you're right. People are like, here's what you should do now. I'm like writing this down. Okay, done with stories about H.
Right.
And time to talk about Xerxes. Great ayahuasca trip. That's on Tuesday. Move on. Definitely move on. I've got to write that on my schedule. Yeah.
Well, there was something that Sparrow wrote on the forums that I about Xerxes that I had to write down on my notebook.
Love this already.
Regarding you and Xerxes, take the adventure into each other.
Yes. It's like poetry.
Huh?
I like the people who are like, oh, I get it now why you're hesitant. Take your time.
Take the adventure into each other.
I'm sorry. I got to write that
Write it down. Please. I did.
Adventures are coming. Just take them. Okay, cool. How much are these adventures? Do they cost anything?
You have to be a certain height.
Do I get a 50% discount for like going through some other shit?
No. Yeah. You just have to pay with your love shine.
Ew. I don't know why, but ew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't hide your light under a bushel, Hemda.
Right.
Let's talk about last week.
Okay.
The episodes thereof.
We're over Hemda's glow burn.
I don't care anymore. Hemda, you know what? You fucked up. Move on.
Right.
I don't have time.
Which makes me
have time to look back beyond last week.
Right. Do you find yourself crankier or with a shorter fuse now that you're on day 13
of
no tobacco, no mints, no lozenges?
No. I feel like the chemical part of it is definitely out of my system.
Oh, wow.
And now it just feels like a big emotional loss.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Feels sort of like if your best friend moved, like, to New Zealand.
Wow, that's a breakup. That's
so sad.
That's heartbreak.
Yeah.
I get it. Is it, like, the habitual aspect of it? Like, you don't have this
You just thing? Always have something in your pocket that can make you feel better at any given moment.
Okay. You know what's funny is a couple weeks ago when Xerxes was here, you're like, do you guys judge me for not doing weed and blah, blah, blah? But you smoke cigarettes. Same thing.
Yeah.
You got something that relieves the stress. It's a shitbird thing to do, you know?
Yeah, but I'm not an advocate for it the way you are for.
Oh, okay, fair. Okay, I see the difference.
I don't think it's healthy.
What do you do now? Brain. What do you do now instead?
I've been doing some exercising.
Okay.
Eating candy.
Okay.
I don't know.
What kind of candy?
I like a chocolate covered pretzel.
Okay.
You know?
It's a good way to go.
Or just a Ritter Sport.
Oh.
Something.
That's the good chocolate.
What's a Ritter Sport?
It's square. You see it in bodegas here at the front, but it's the expensive one.
Those are good though.
Good taste.
Yeah. They have a good chocolate to whatever the fuck is in their ratio.
Exactly.
They have a solid crunch and an honest flavor.
I like the butter biscuit varietal.
Mm. Okay.
You know what else? Trader Joe's has like a shit ton of fantastic selection. I don't know why I'm doing an ad, but it's like 99 cents for this and like $2 for this. I fucking love that place.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done with my ads.
Little break. Yeah, little commercial break.
I mean, Keith, when you stopped drinking, did you feel like there was a period of mourning afterwards?
I know that I got into Ben and Jerry's ice cream for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like you say that the friend moved to New Zealand. It's good to know they're still out there.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly.
Right, they're not off the planet.
In fact, mine are just in a different cabinet.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see.
When do you think you'll throw out all your, do you have any cigarettes in your house? Do you have cigarettes? Yeah. And you haven't smoked since when? Cause that's different than the lozenge you
probably
take.
Probably like a year.
They're stale, right?
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah, you can still smoke them though, guys. What am I, some sort of a princess?
Okay.
It's rolling tobacco. It's bone dry, I'm sure.
Will that be another step, do you think? I mean, obviously it will be. Do you think that'll be a big deal to throw out the tobacco?
I think it'd be a bigger deal to throw out the lozenges than the tobacco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's your current habit.
Yeah, because that's like the safe, friendly nicotine. Mm.
Do you find yourself walking past smokers deliberately on the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
But it's been so long since I was a regular smoker that it doesn't have a lot to do with smoking for me anymore. It's just right. about the chemical.
Sometimes on the streets, somebody will be in front of me smoking. Mm-hmm. Ash will blow into my face. Is that like a dream for you?
Oh my God, I had the grossest dream last night that I can't even. There was a part where I threw up and I was barfing. Also, poop.
Oh.
Isn't that so gross?
That's a Family Guy sketch.
It was so awful. Yeah. Anyway, that just reminded me of it when you said, is that a dream of yours? No. The dreams that I have are worse and weirder. All right. The abortion ban with Chelsea White.
Let's get right into it.
New guest.
Yeah, was that her first time? She was so fun.
Yeah, it was. And we got her from Andrea Allen. Mm-hmm. And she reminded me of Courtney McGinnis.
Yes, similar vibe.
Similar vibe, a similar cadence of speech, a fun, you know, everything rolls off like, oh, was I drunk? Ha ha ha. Like, you know, seems to take everything lightly and fun. And it was a lot of fun to meet her.
I enjoyed it very much. But I do hear the Courtney McGinnis voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Right?
Yeah.
It's a little vocal fry, but you forgive it because she's just so fucking cool.
We were talking about the abortion ban in Georgia, Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Kentucky. You know, I'm watching.
I love that you mention all the states every time.
Yeah. It's watching, of course, The West Wing. I'm at season 5 and I am getting interested. Season 6, excuse me. And I am getting interested in who's going to be. The new president.
Thank
after
you
all.
Very we're much,
team Jimmy Keith. Smith so far, right?
I know you
yeah.
like the back of my hand. You're mm-hmm. like, why should I still care? He won his second term. And I'm like, but what about the future of the Democratic Party?
Yeah. I'm getting bored now when they go to the real president.
I know.
Right?
Because you want to know about the race.
Let's hear about Jimmy Smith's being honest. Alan Alda sticking to his things, and then the little flaky dummy who happens to be the vice president as well. But not one of these characters would put together an abortion plan like we have in real life.
No, I know.
Isn't that interesting?
I know. What we're dealing with now is like purely draconian. Everything is just shock and awe now. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't, the discourse has just changed very rapidly.
Yeah.
We don't talk about things the same way anymore. It's not like laws are changing. Or potentially they're trying to change laws in various states. It's abortion ban in the following. You know, we're all guilty of reporting it using that language.
Sure. But the poll we put up, men and women, have you had or benefited from an abortion? Meaning men, have you had your baby aborted? 30% of our audience has. So
good for you.
It's going to happen. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to have this baby because, you know, these old guys said I had to.
Oh, I would never do that.
It will happen. So do you want to go back to when we had to use clothes hangers? It's going to happen.
Yeah. Haven't you seen Dirty Dancing? Do you want Penny to get in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Do you know that when I watched Dirty Dancing the first couple, three, however many times?
No idea. Me neither.
No, I was like, oh, she's sick, but everyone's mad at her.
Yeah, no idea.
And then how is it his response? Why is he mad at
And he
Patrick
could
Swayze?
Get in trouble for even going and helping her.
And she went doctor. To a bad doctor. Why?
Butcher.
Because she can't afford it maybe. So she's just making bad decisions in her life. Like, why are you disappointed in her? I couldn't get it.
Yeah. And then once you got it, you're like,
oh, that dad is a piece of shit and just blaming everybody for a thing that somebody has to go through. And also Patrick Swayze is a pedophile.
Fuck.
Well, how this old was baby
not
in there?
The interpretation of the movie that I had.
She read the book.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, Hemda.
He was so mean to her.
She's mean to who?
Patrick Swayze was mean to Jennifer Garner. Wait, is it not Jennifer Garner? Jennifer Grey. I was close. He was mean to her when she was just trying to help. And she's trying to learn the dance moves, and he's like, ugh, you're so lame, and blah, blah, blah. Until he was sexually attracted to her, and then everything was okay.
No, he had to get to know her because he had prejudicial thinking about their status difference.
He was 25, she was 17.
Yeah, he's a little bitch.
Oh, my God.
He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's not right.
And she was a bitch to her. Everyone was a bitch to her. And she's like, oh, I wish I could just drop this. And it's like, yeah, you're on vacation and you're 17. You can drop this asshole. And then he's a tough guy. Like, why won't you introduce me to your father? Because you're 20 fucking five.
Oh my God, you guys. You can't.
I'm sorry.
We can't have anything nice.
Well, wait till we talk about Greece.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm upset now. I'm honestly upset. You know, that was like my first sexual thought was when I was watching that movie.
Really? When?
When I was 17.
No, much before that. In the movie, I think I was like 10 or 11. And he like, there's a scene where they're practicing the dance and she keeps messing up and he's getting so mad. And he puts his hand on her waist, mm-hmm. and it's just like a close-up shot of his hand on her waist, and his hand is like huge, like
yeah.
a trash can lid on her like tiny
that I get
butt and waist. Sure. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What is this that mm-hmm. I like? And turns out I like brooding gigantic men
yep.
mm-hmm. to this very day who are maybe not that nice. So
no, he's a teacher. He's a dance teacher at this place and he's getting mad at her for not getting the steps. Okay.
No, but he's just said that's just his teaching style, Hemda.
Fuckface is his teaching yes. style? Oh, okay, cool. He was his dick the whole time.
No.
What is funny how we don't realize things when we're young. Like you said, you didn't realize abortion was a pretty big plot in that. But we certainly didn't realize the ages. And I didn't even think about it because it's not really my movie. But yes, that 17 to 25, if I saw that movie for the first time today, I would have recognized that right away.
And it wasn't just that. It was that she was being called literally baby.
Right.
She had no experience in life. And he was not just a regular 25-year-old. He was a 25-year-old who's been on his own, who's been working at this place for a long time, who's like, you know, kind of badass. So he's had all this experience. She still lives with her parents and is still in high school.
But she's brave.
Right.
Also, when I was 17, I had a 25-year-old boyfriend. So just saying.
And right. I get that. You know what I mean? It could happen, and I believe as a 17-year-old, you are a little bit older, but the gap with these guys, she had zero life experience. Zero. And he had like
yes, but
more
she
than-
had her convictions.
Oh, shit, I didn't realize
that. And she
that.
Wanted to help the world, and she sacrificed her own reputation in order to protect him because she realized that the system was rigged against him with regards to the stolen wallets.
Agreed, but he was willing to drop her whenever anything got hard and she decided to stick with him even though it would ruin her reputation, it would ruin her relationship with her parents and her whole family, and it would put her out completely.
He did not drop her when things got hard. He left and came back and said, excuse me, to her dad, like, you are ignoring the strength and vitality of this woman. She was a child to you, and now she's grown into an adult that you can be proud of. Her name is Frances.
Don't put
and
baby
nobody
in a corner.
Puts her in a corner. And now we're going to do the dance in front of everyone. And it's the end of an era. It's the end of that kind of old way of thinking where women
I'll
can't.
Give you that.
Okay?
I'll give
Thank
you, that.
You.
Yes, I will give you
Don't
that.
Don't you fucking dare argue with me about Dirty Dancing.
Do you know,
Don't
I just
you
read
dare.
I just read an article on Game of Thrones. Turns out all those women were getting raped. I'm like, what? You know, at the time, you don't even think about it.
But what then, are you talking about? Game of Thrones isn't history, Keith. God damn it. What hook? Where did you guys go to school? Where did you guys go to school?
To that actual town in the movie.
I'm so mad at the both of you. We got to get back on track.
Sure.
The Game of Thrones finals with Khonice Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
Khonice was such a yes. delight. Oh my God.
I enjoy the petitions that people write against, you know, hating Game of Thrones and then the petitions against the petitions. I think it's all very exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Keep yourselves busy and in a loop.
Right.
You love petitions.
Love petitions.
As just like a form of political engagement.
Yeah, because I know neither side cares.
It doesn't take a lot of work.
But they think they do.
You could do it in your email.
Yeah.
You could do a lot with email these days. Mm-hmm.
That's an electronic signature. Sure.
Sure, I'll sign it.
Yeah, I signed both petitions. The petition against Game of Thrones and the petition against the petition.
Who's to say I can't?
Yeah, cross-reference that.
I'll put my name on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch The Last Watch?
The doc?
Yeah, the behind the scenes doc. Okay. I didn't either.
I still think it's real.
I mean, who was there to say?
I'm not ready to accept that it was a show.
We had dinosaurs. You don't think we're going to have dragons?
Yeah. But
we have pterodactyls.
I mean, the more I think about the finale, the less I like it, the sadder I become.
Yeah.
So.
That was.
So whatever. I guess we move briskly.
We got to move on. Mm-hmm. But Kinesis is really fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's the one who recommended that show. Keith, help me out.
Fleabag.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard it's great.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
I'm two episodes in.
Uh-huh.
She seems like a psychopath, this Fleabag.
You don't. No more talking about it, you, Keith, for a minute. Just give me a week, please.
Okay. For the record, you brought it up. Okay. But okay.
I forgot that you saw it.
And let's go back. Play the tape. Keith is right. You did bring it up. You brought up Jost and Johansson getting engaged.
Yes. I thought it was funny. It took me a second to know who you were talking about. Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson. Colin Jost is one of the news guys on the Weekend Update. Scarlett Johansson is Scarlett Johansson. But they made their announcement the day of the finale of Game of Thrones, and it can't be a coincidence. It happens to be the day after SNL. I like to make up the stories for fun, and I picture that she said, let's announce, and he said, how about the end of SNL? I'm not a regular Pete Davidson. You know, let's let the season end. That'll be news, and the next day will be more news. And I picture him going, but also, I follow pop culture. It'll be on Game of Thrones. And she's like, can I just announce it already? Like, it really went under the radar, I thought.
I feel like they were both on board with it going under the radar.
Oh, you think it was a plan? Like, we have to announce it, so let's announce it now during the big game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was a ploy.
I was saying, you know, Game of Thrones was such a big deal that, you know, feel free to come out to your parents because they won't pay attention.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, I think he said he was gay 2 years ago.
I came out that I was marrying Scarlett Johansson to my parents.
Moby just said he's marrying her. So this is very exciting.
It is.
Does Come to Have a Boyfriend was the poll for that one. Two people said no.
And two of them were Hemda.
Right.
How does that work?
Hemda, and then she logged into Xerxes' computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a boyfriend.
No.
Oh,
not like does she have a boyfriend. She's singing in love. Do you know what I mean?
She's taken.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You're hearing this going, I thought there was a chance. She said no.
She said she didn't have a boyfriend, she does.
I had to believe it.
I was telling Xerxes, I'm like, when I asked you, because I asked and I was like,
yeah, and you wrote on the forums, you're like, don't tell anyone, but right. Tonight I'm going to ask Xerxes to be my boyfriend.
Right. So don't act like you're not being all scrumpty dumpties over here there.
I am enjoying life.
And everyone on the forums is like, yes, I'm part of it.
But I asked him and I felt like such a 12-year-old.
Did you get down on one knee or did you write him a note with check boxes? Did you fold up a piece of paper, cootie catcher? How'd you do it?
This might be the first time I asked someone to be my boyfriend, like for real, you know? And so I asked him like so dorky. I was like so goofy faced and he's like, will you be cool if you were my boyfriend? And he's like, yeah. And I told him this morning, I was like, I can see how hard you were trying not to roll your eyes at me. Like, yeah, of course. And then we're telling people and they're like, uh-huh, I already knew this. And then they give us the timeline of when they knew it.
Sure.
So it's quite enjoyable.
Well, to those people I say, you don't know anything. Don't let them define your reality.
Right. Even though you just happen to be proven right.
Whatever. Who cares?
Let him to have the excitement of saying, right?
The next episode was Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile with Christian Finnegan and Kyle Ocasio. Mm-hmm.
Do you get into those snapped and murders? No?
Not for me. I'm not a true crimer.
It's definitely, I looked it up also afterwards when the Christian said it, but it's definitely a woman audience for the majority of those shows.
I think we're trying to figure people out.
Maybe.
Trying to figure out like how we're going to get murdered and try to avoid it.
Yeah. I mean, I know so many people who use it as like Xanax, like Dateline as like a falling asleep.
Right. Yeah, Andrea, it like soothes her.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Did you know about Ted Bundy? I didn't. I knew of him, but it was the, I loved the movie because everything was new to me.
Well, yeah, I know about him. I love Zac Efron.
Okay.
He's so handsome.
Well, you should see this then. It's all in there. He stays handsome.
He's so handsome.
I brought this up, but it's funny to me that he produced it. He's the main actor. That means he's going, I'm handsome.
I'm the handsome guy.
Right.
So I'll play the handsome killer. I can't play a regular killer, just a handsome one.
Right.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Last time I was on a show with Christian, it was the live show. And I apparently beat him up and he couldn't take it. And it was all my fault.
Okay. It's weird how...
Is it weird when they paraphrase themselves wrong?
Yeah. Your perception seems to be a little off. But anyway, now, go on.
I focused and I was trying very specifically to be super nice to Christian while still being funny and whatever. But I made a point to not shit on him. Not like...
You did a great job.
Right? Do you remember me going... You have a good point or some kind of shit like that.
Do you remember me acting like he made sense once?
But were you lying in that
No,
moment?
I wasn't. I mean, okay. No, I made sure not to lie, but I wanted to put out the more gentle version of me.
Ahead of time, she did say, hey, how about I say, should I bring up to Christian the old boyfriend comment?
Oh, yeah. Her I hitting asked Keith, on me. Like, should I say on the show, should I apologize to him on the show? Saying like, hey, I put you in a bad position, or say it before the show, you know, just to kind of, if he went through it, should I bring it up? And Keith is like, nah, it's just going to put him in a worse place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like down the road, but not the first time out. You have to like be nice to him like four times now.
Yeah. Four more times?
Four more times.
More times?
Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Before you can bring it up.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Kyle's children who say, okay, I've learned my lesson.
No, I have, but it's there is aggression in this room a lot of times where we call bullshit on people and we like rip and whatever. And, you know, Keith bangs on the desk. He calls people morons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How am I different?
Your interactions with Christian are different and it's not bad. It's just that I perceive the difference. Keith perceives a difference. Andrea perceives a difference. Christian perceives a difference. He feels like you're unduly harsh on him. And we all perceive that to be true. Now, whether or not you feel as though you're treating him any differently as you are anybody else.
I really sincerely thought I was treating him nicer.
Right.
Than everybody else.
Right. Sincerely, you did.
Yes.
And yet, yes. Everybody still perceives it in a different way.
I know. It is just shocking.
And I'll tell you.
But I'm trying to live there.
I'll tell you honestly that when he's on, I don't enjoy the show as much because I'm like, ugh. It feels like it comes out of a defensive place on your end
for
sometimes.
Me? Wow. I'm like loving him.
Great.
You know what I mean? I'm like comfortable calling him ridiculous.
Well, good luck, Xerxes, right?
Oh, he loves it.
Everybody loves it.
She's so nice. Is she looking at me?
Well, it seems whenever we talk about this, you get it. You even say you get it, and then the next day, your body started over. Now
it's
a whole surprise to you. This conversation.
Imagine
today.
What I feel on the inside. I get it. You know, I get it. It's like a whole back and forth in my head because. I really, when I do that to you, it's because you're close to me. Like, I feel like I rip you a new one all the time, Keith. I'm just like, blah, 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 whatever, you know? And it's the rhythm
that
we have.
Yeah, but it's the way that Keith interacts back with you. It's the rhythm that you have. Christian never gives you anything back until the stage show when he said, why do you always treat me like an ex-boyfriend we never dated? That's the first time.
But wasn't he laughing every time I joked with him?
No.
What a shame.
I mean, not. I didn't.
I will cut it out. I've cut it out. I have cut it out. But
I'm
like,
not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you how
I hate your show.
Yeah, I mean, if it's cringy and everyone's saying
I'm
that, I'm trying.
I'm just telling you how I listen to it when it happens.
Yeah, and you're saying other people are. So I'm
but
trying.
I don't know what they. I don't don't give a shit. Sure.
But okay. To me, it's like cigarettes. It's like, well, I have this habit.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed it, but turns out it's very bad for me. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'll only give it to him when he gives it to me. I'll wait.
Yeah, just wait.
Cool.
Just wait and then fucking unleash.
So fun. I'd rather somebody beat me up. Like, do it. Hit. Let's go.
Why?
Because that's the truth. You said something stupid. Who gives a shit? I'm so sorry.
I don't know why this is like the breeding ground for fruitful conversation. All of a sudden, him does like, the only way you get to the bottom of anything is to say, fuck you, I'm right, you're wrong, this is the truth.
But it's not like, to me, it's not like I'm saying I'm right. To me, it's just going like, I'm so comfortable with you that I'm just saying an opinion. And it's not me calling you stupid. It's just me going like, we're going to have fun. And then at the end of the show, I'm like, Christian's a super smart guy, so fun and funny and sweet and nice. And that's why I get to shit on him. So weird. Okay. But I didn't. How great did I do? Nice. Did you cringe?
No, I loved it.
But you're cringing now.
Yeah. Well, now I feel like I'm having an argument with you.
Mm-hmm, nice guy.
And it's really not about Dirty Dancing.
I guess I'm aggressive.
No, I'm not saying that. I just don't want you to feel like I'm attacking your like whole vibe when you interview someone, because obviously like you're great at that and that's what the show is.
I don't think you are. It's a very specific person that other people are agreeing with, so I'm looking at it.
Okay.
It's very honed in on this one thing, but also I have to think about it on a bigger level. Like, why is he different than other people?
Right.
So I have to think about it as an umbrella thing of, this is a thing that I do. So who do I do it to? When do I do it to and why? Got to think about it.
Take a look at it, right, mm-hmm. Keith?
Always look. Always learn, right? Everything's an opportunity is what I say.
Well, I was very proud of myself.
I like the dynamic of having the four of you, though, in the same show. Kyle, Keith,
true.
Christian, him does, like,
right. And it also,
two C's, two K's, you know? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And it works out good because if Henda's holding back with Christian, she can attack me and keep getting Kyle to shit on me.
Oh, that was fun. I'm sorry.
So it'll still come out. And she doesn't know what the word sorry means, but she is.
But again, I gave up cigarettes, so I got to like chew the gum.
Sure.
You're the gum.
Right. I'm New Zealand.
So how were you feeling after that one?
It's just funny, but fine.
Oh, was it a thing?
It's just funny.
That's what Kyle does, and so that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. If somebody jumped off a bridge, are we supposed to do?
Wow. Interesting. What else am I supposed to do?
Instead of, tell me how Keith's a shithead?
That was so funny.
Okay. You think love would make her happier?
Yeah.
The good news is
so fun.
We have the same Kemda.
Did you get butt hurt? I mean, let me rephrase.
Did pussy cry over there?
You know how I have feelings and it's perfectly normal and you should respect them? Well, when you have them,
right.
Fuck you.
Right.
Wait, did you have a feeling?
I can't show weakness to you now.
No, come on. Was that bad?
It was just, it's what I said it was. I'm like,
funny?
That's funny.
I think that means he had a feeling.
No, I'm not, don't go with like, I think that means for Keith. You know what I mean? Because that's not fair, because then he's not telling me. So if you're not telling me, if it's funny, you're going, it's funny, then it's funny.
Okay, it's
can't
funny.
Can't fill it in.
Yeah.
Right.
Say if it's different than that.
Okay.
Did you have a feeling though?
No, but it was funny.
What does that mean? You
I
see
don't
that
know.
That's fucked up.
It means peculiar. You know what funny means when you go,
what's
funny.
Peculiar about it?
Say how Keith's a shithead. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, is peculiar.
Did you have a feeling about the peculiarity of it?
Yes, I thought it was funny.
No.
So you're fine with it then, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I don't think
I said
you
that also.
Know what words mean.
It means
she's looking at Keith.
It's funny, as in it was odd, but I was fine with it. But it's interesting. It's not normal. It was odd. I'm not going to apologize for being called a shithead.
No, to me, it's like
that is a fact.
No, but to me,
that
it's like
is my thought, and that is the end of that.
When my partner has ever been on the show, you know, it's always like, it's come to kind of blah blah blah. You know, like I expect to be shit on because that's what we're doing as a couple. Like, let's, you know, hey, as a person who's like the closest to her, how silly is she when blah blah blah? Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. That's what we do when our partner's on because it's a little different, you know, and it's closer. And also, he's saying it's fine, so I'm supposed to make up that it's funny.
It was funny.
It was funny. Okay.
How was the dinner, the boneversary dinner?
It was funny, because well, I was saying in a show the following week that we went out, and of course I ended up, you know, with all the food to go because she likes the food I order and not the food she orders.
Right.
And then a little scam at the end when the waitress says, hey, she's in the bathroom, I'm going to give you champagne. Like, oh, I think she's done drinking, but I don't drink. It's champagne. It's water. Don't worry about it. Gives us the champagne.
So shitty.
Or is about to. And so I go, how about a dessert instead, if you don't mind? She goes, okay, how about, you know what? I'll bring you a sampler of desserts, the big dessert with all the different desserts. And then Kyle comes back, boom, two champagne glasses in front of us. I'm like, I think I just bought a $50 dessert. I did. And then I go, that's it. We're fucking in the bathroom out of principle.
I love that.
Yeah. So it all worked out.
I was thinking of this, like how to, because that's rough. She really does order stuff and you really do take it home. And it doesn't sound like you're exaggerating.
Like eggplant and rice. What a treat I get.
You really should stop by my house after this because she really orders everything I like. Stuffed peppers, everything I hear from her order is magical to me. I was thinking, like, set it up like it's romantic, like, oh, I pre-ordered for us so you don't have to think about it. And then you just order the thing that you know, like no sauces and no vinegar and whatever, and then it just comes.
Right.
And I would think that was romantic.
She's funny when she talks to waitresses or waiters because she doesn't like... She obviously she wants to be a people pleaser for them, but it's totally unnecessary. And she'll let the waiter describe the whole menu, even though that's not what she wants. She's just like, yes, interesting. Mm. It's like, well, you're not into a vegetarian burger. So why are you entertaining that and then telling you what the vegetables are? You don't care. And we were having the dessert, and she goes, it's like baklava, that kind of thing. And she, you know, the waitress starts talking to us, and Kyle says like, it's very sweet. And the waitress is like, not Egyptian baklava. It's not sweet at all. And Kyle goes, oh, really? Okay. Oh, really?
That's weird.
It's not? Okay. Yeah, it's not.
Oh, yeah. On second taste.
I didn't think it's sweet at all, actually.
Yeah, my palate's stupid.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun being out, but I don't know. Restaurants, to me, they're a trick.
Well, in general. You've seen the other side.
Yeah, I've seen both sides, and
I used to be so into restaurants, but now when I go, I'm just like, I could cook this better. You're overcharging for this, and the experience isn't even. They used to be the experiences. You sit and people like not dote on you, but just enough for you to feel comfortable. You don't have to do the dishes, like stuff like that. It made sense. Now the waiters kind of have an attitude. They're not, they don't think they're in the customer service, you know, business. Right. And the food feels like there's not a chef back there. It's just some line cook that could give a fuck. You're not paying attention to my medium well when I'm paying prices that you should care about. So I don't know.
Right.
Just throws it like, and really Blue Apron helped with that, HelloFresh. And, and just, I don't know. I think times have changed, or I'm getting older. It's just not worth it.
Now I have to keep in mind she has three kids. Maybe she's sick of cooking. Right. That's not something that's fun.
But then when you cook at home, do you say like, hey, sit, I got this, like you are at a restaurant.
Yeah, I'll
do
that.
But she can't sit, right?
Not really, no. Yeah. And then she's like, what's in it? No vinegar, right? And it's like, oh, you don't know what you eat in a restaurant. The water has vinegar. Look, I didn't know either, but now I know mustard isn't everything. It's not just you're tasting mustard the way you're thinking mustard.
Yeah, when it comes to that, I'm like, if the person knows what I do and don't like to eat, I'm like, if you're going to put stuff that I don't like and you know it's going to be well hidden, please don't tell me the ingredients before I eat it because I know that I'm kind of being too much about it. Like if it was just mayo, I wouldn't eat it. But if you hide it in a thing,
right,
then, you know, just don't tell me.
I like all foods, so it's very, I wish I did. It's very funny for me to hear.
Right.
I can't even think of one that I don't like.
Oh, that's the dream.
Yeah.
We understood there were going to be belly dancers, and then it's the whole night is two tables counting our table. I'm like, well, there better not be a belly dancer now.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
Was there?
No, thank goodness. Now I can tell when I asked, thinking more people were going to come, they didn't know what they were going to do. And then the manager's on the phone trying to call one in, and it didn't work out. Thank goodness.
Why was the restaurant so...
No idea.
Slow.
It was a Thursday night, but I have no idea.
It was a Thursday night before Memorial Day weekend, and I noticed that the whole city is gone.
No one has to eat then? I don't know. Don't people come to New York for Memorial Day?
No. It's Memorial Day is weird. Rich people leave. Like in my neighborhood, there's never parking, and there's all this parking space because if you have a car, you're leaving. If you're rich, you're leaving. It's one of those where, like, if I go to an Al-Anon meeting on those weekends, I happen to go to one where people are a little bit more.
Don't rich people eat on Thursday? Or they're like, nah, we don't want to.
Maybe they're heading out. Maybe that's not, you know.
They're having a cookout.
Or maybe it's just a shit restaurant. I don't know. Who knows? I noticed the city is empty on Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Let's move on to the Kevin Allison.
Ugh.
Then it fell apart.
One of the greatest guests. He's chatty. He's friendly. He
practices active listening. Mm-hmm. And you can really tell.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then he talks. And then he does active listening.
It's nice.
Yeah.
He's so friendly. So motivated.
Great episode, but is it ever hard when somebody doesn't realize that you're divorced? Are you?
No, because.
Are you like, get with the times, buddy?
No, because I didn't really do too many, like, unless you're listening to the show and following my life really, really, you won't really see it hardcore on my social media. Like,
right.
I did post a nasty post about finding the earrings in my bed. Not in my bed, but like on the ledge or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, Kevin Allison, although I love him and I would totally hang out with him, we really just check in. So I don't expect people to know. I don't know who he's dating. You know?
So, well, it's how fine. Could you? How could you keep track?
Somebody who urinates, I bet, but other than that, who knows? We were talking about, of course, we revisited the abortion bans, and in Alabama, and they, of course, have that abortion ban, they also would not play the cartoon Arthur,
right?
Which married a gay rat in an aardvark. And I thought it was just because, okay, but in what section of the zoo are these guys going to start a family?
It's an abomination.
Yes, but it turns out it's more about the homosexuality.
So it's a double abomination.
Right, so they wouldn't play this kids' TV show. What a play. What's in Alabama? Nashville?
No.
Okay, then nothing.
I guess you're close to Florida, another shit place. I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure there's...
Heat? There's heat?
But then, of course, during that show, we talked about Moby.
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman. And Moby says, I dated her. She was 20. She says, not only would I have been 18, we didn't date. You full-grown adult. And then he says, I have the picture to prove it. Puts up a picture of his arm around her. Her looking a little timid. Him all into it. And then, of course, the public says, motherfucker, you're a weirdo. So he has to put out an apology. He realizes after some 24-hour soul searching that, hey, my fans aren't going to like me or this book, so I'll apologize. But his apology was even weirder. And he's like, I should have told her about the book, that she was in the book before I put her in the book.
That's
like,
what you should have done.
Right, that's not what she's saying.
The classic, I'm sorry if.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if it upset her, but we definitely dated.
I'm sorry if.
Right. I don't know why the publisher took a chance on not... looking that up.
Right.
I'm not, what do you call that?
Fact checking.
Yeah, fact checking. We wrote a book, like, you get to fact check weird shit. You can't just say someone's name and say something happened. Yeah. It's very strange. But also, I love this time now, because I think in a different time, Natalie Portman wouldn't have said anything. She just would have been like, I guess that's happening. But now, there's her response, and then there's his response, and it's when it's still not good enough, it's still being said. So yep. I know that people are like, you're taking down his career, blah, blah, blah. You're not. You're going like, oh, you're lying. If you didn't want to be called out about this thing that's in your book, that's what you're selling the book on. And I think, right, obviously that's what Time's Up mean, but it's nice. It's like, it makes me feel like I have a voice, which I guess is the whole
which idea is important that, because yeah. Kendra just announced that her and Moby never dated either.
He used to hang out on the Lower East Side. He was at Bowery Poetry Club a couple times when we were there.
Well, guess what? Yeah. Maybe he did date. Right? Ask him.
Maybe I'm in his book.
Who knows?
Yeah. Under the name Chava.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
I just think that she's like really, she has like a strong track record of, you know, doing this to weird dudes who are obsessed with her. Like, the author, Jonathan Safran Foer, they had like this weird email correspondence that they published and he was clearly obsessed with her.
Her and Moby?
No. This author and Natalie Portman.
Oh.
She's just like one of these figures who like attracts right. this weird type of like quasi-intellectual sad man.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, bye.
Yeah. I had to picture how tough it had to be, how young she was when she was in the Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, redos, the second reboot.
Whatever.
Yeah. The ones everybody hates.
Queen Amidala.
Right. Now picture all these, you know, these quasi-intellectuals like you're saying, and that they have a right to her.
Exactly.
It's worse than that. She was in movies that highly sexualized her when she was like 10, 11.
The Professional.
The Professional was very strange. The camera work was very much like you're supposed to find her hot. The interactions between her and the older man were very
strange.
Gary
Oldman.
That's Gary Oldman?
Great
movie. You kept thinking like they were going to make out or he's going to hit on her. It was very strange. Then she was in, it was a Beautiful Girls or Beautiful Women with Uma Thurman. And she was young there also. I believe she's in that. And they sexualized her there. And she's
well,
young.
She was like the poster child of the manic pixie dream girl trope after Garden State.
But she had that like. It feels like prepubescent.
Yeah, it was baked into her whole. And then when she went to Harvard, it was like the whole thing. And she's beauty and brains.
Yeah. But she played the role really well. So it was very interesting to see such a young person be able to put that out with adults, you know, because that's, you know, you kind of pick that up as you gain a little experience. So I think that's what twisted a lot of guys' brains.
Yeah. Even my high school math teacher went to Harvard and was in a class with her and would forget his book every day so that he had to borrow hers.
Ew. Mm. Are you being serious?
Yes.
I had a roommate, One Eye Davis. long story short, he had one eye and he was born with the name Davis. He was in love with her. And I remember it was me, him, Adam, my friend Adam happened to be visiting. And she said something about being in love with Natalie Portman. And we said probably something stupid about that we're going to get with Natalie Portman. He got upset going, how would you like that if I talked about your future wife like that?
Wow.
You just changed our dynamic forever.
Yeah, she has like this specific role in culture the past like 15, 20 years. That's actually really fascinating.
I think it's a little comparable to Drew Barrymore. Right? Only because she started young and people started sexualizing her. Mm-hmm. But these roles, and she was in Beautiful Girls. And it was very odd. They had, I remember this scene and I was like, I can't watch. This is so weird.
Oh, with Matt Dillon, right?
Yes.
And she's very young.
She's very young. And they had one of the adults, the age of Matt Dillon, either him or somebody else, talked to her. She was the neighbor and he was like actually attracted to her and said something like, I wish you were older. Like, because she was just spewing out like, I guess relatively smart things in terms of interacting with another person, you know, like she was just cool and whatever, but she was a child and whoever played that part played the role of like, man, should I be dating you sort of thing. So she's been playing that role. It's very, very odd.
Yeah. It was either him or Timothy Hutton, but yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah. And the show is called Beautiful Girls.
Right.
And the whole movie was odd. And again, The Professional, if you watch that, oh, you're uncomfortable.
But there's something about like her being an intellectual. Like, you can, it's okay to sexualize mm-hmm. her in this way because, like, you're a beta male and you're, and you see the real her, which is mm-hmm. the smart her. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, don't. I feel like it's so, like.
She was 13, her character in that movie.
And she was right. either 13, the most she could have been was 15, but she's so small.
Yeah.
Very gross.
Well, I find it fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find her amazing.
I'm going to do my thesis on her.
Mm-hmm. She's very impressive. And I think that's what's interesting is like these loser guys are like, she's impressive. And they feel good. I think this is what you were saying. They feel good finding her attractive and it makes them feel like they're yeah. better. And when once they feel better, they feel like they've earned like hitting on her or right. being with her or whatever. It's a very weird way of looking at such a young person from like when she was prepubescent and on.
And now she's married to a ballerina.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I hope.
A man?
Yeah. Well. Keith?
Hey, I've been to the ballerina. Yeah, I've seen it
I
happen.
Heard about you. Oh. I heard your snooze fest.
Well.
Anything else, guys?
Honest to God, no.
We talked about movies a lot more than I would have thought we did.
Thank you.
And coming from me.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Hemda's movie corner.
Mm-hmm. It's her day.
It's the first time ever. Can't believe I knew that.
I saw Booksmart
Did today. You enjoy it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Major. And I think it's exceptional.
All right. I'll see it. I liked eighth grade, so I don't mind girls in movies. Thank you. It's not even a thing.
Wow. It was so good. That clap needs to be even slower.
He doesn't mind girls in movies. Thank you, Keith.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great space to end on. Mm-hmm. But it's your show.
Love can build a bridge. This is because we all fought. Tween your heart and mind. No hard feelings, guys. Love can build a bridge. We're all friends. Don't you think it's fine? Don't you think it's fine? Yes, I do. GaitheAndTheGirl.com.